PFT Media.
What's up, everybody? It's the Devils in the Details, Pedro Lima. Super producer Chris Crespo, Dan Perella, is on vacation on Dragon Con, but we have a new co-host, everybody.
Even better.
Much better. Oh, it's such an upgrade. Sing it, Freddie. Joining us now and until she decides to move on with her own British-y podcast.
Never.
It is Clara Sinclair joining the Devils in the Details, baby.
Hello.
You might have heard her from the last episode, the most British episode we've ever had.
It was quite British heavy, wasn't it?
But it was great. I learned so much.
There's like, so much to learn in that period of time. Oh, so much.
So much fun. I went in Wikipedia and then I did some research.
What? You did homework on your own?
I did homework on my own.
Never done that
And
before.
I'm like, wait a minute. Jeffrey was more involved into stuff than we gave him credit for.
No, he wasn't.
Well, you take it with Wikipedia, Clara.
Jeffrey.
Well, who writes Wikipedia? Men. There you go.
Had a rough day today. Today being Thursday, August the 29th, as we record this.
30th.
On the 30th?
Time stamped.
Year of the Lord.
Can't believe we're almost at September already.
I know. It's been going so quick.
So quick.
The car gods have forsaken me.
Oh.
This morning, woke up with the lovely sound at 6:45 in the morning of my wife yelling in the driveway. My car won't start.
Oh, no.
It's the worst. Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I'm Spanish, and I have no idea about cars.
Should have called me up. I'm really good at cars.
Are you? Always good to know someone, because I don't know.
I grew up on a farm. There wasn't mechanics anywhere. Really? You had to learn how to fix things.
You're like the Marissa Tomei in My Cousin Vinny. Have you seen that movie?
Yes, I have. Okay. I like My Cousin Vinny.
That's a good movie. That's a good one.
I was telling Dan, now we got Clara, we can play games. We can play, like, how much she knows about U.S. pop culture.
Oh, God.
Kind of game.
Do you know what? I really like playing trivia, like, going to pubs and things, but I can't do it here.
Why not?
Because inevitably you get to a sports round.
Mm.
And well, in the sports round you have baseball, hockey, American football.
It throws you off.
Basketball.
I don't even have a little clue about it.
Sure.
Not even a little one.
Let me ask you this, Crespo. Because Crespo does a lot of trivia in pubs and bars and stuff like that. Do you do sports?
When I do trivia, usually a night will have 30 questions. There may be 3 sports questions tops throughout the whole night. And they're spread throughout the night. And they'll cover... I like to mix it up. I'll do everything from baseball and like mascots to just had a question about who won this year's French Open.
Got it. That wouldn't
I have
know.
No idea.
Oh, so you know, that's an international sport.
I'm not French either.
Fair enough.
This is when you have to assemble your team and you have to
That's true. You have a sports guy. You have a sports person.
Right,
bring Pedro with you.
Yeah, I'm great at sports.
He's your sports guy. Oh, yeah. And then he just sits there looking pretty, drinking beers.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when he gets it, here's the basketball question. You sit back, you relax.
Yeah.
And he'll take
over.
I got
this, you guys. I got it.
Yes,
I got it.
Sports and movies, I'm in.
Nice.
But now I'm getting older, so I can't remember a lot of stuff. Which sucks. It sucks. It sucks. Yeah.
I remember
older.
Like the most bizarre things. So there's a show called Keeping Up with Appearances in the UK, and it's a really weird thing. And there was a question of like, what's the son's name? And the son is never in it, but she's on the phone with him. And I was like, Sheridan, it's Sheridan. I was like, I don't even know how I know. This is like like a 1980s TV show that my mum had on in the background.
Super funny.
So what, was that trivia show here in the US or was it back home?
No, it's a UK show.
It was a UK show, Keeping Up Appearances. Okay.
That played on PBS in America in the 90s.
Did it?
Yeah.
It's really quite funny. So it's like all about this woman who's called Mrs. Bucket, but she always answers the phone like, Bouquet, residence! Like, it's not she Bucket, it it's up. Bouquet.
Yeah, yeah.
She's just like...
She Colbert's it up.
Yeah.
That played a whole block of shows. It was like The Young Ones, Mr. Mm-hmm. Bean.
Faulty Towers.
Yeah, Faulty Towers. That's how I fell in love with Faulty Towers and Mr. Mm-hmm. Bean.
It's not Frankenstein, it's Frankenstein. Have you ever seen that movie? Wall.
Huh?
Young Frankenstein.
I have not, no.
That's, okay. We got to compile
Wait, which
a
one?
List.
Is that the...
Black and
I
White.
I knew there was like one with... Oh, no. There was one with like Daniel Radcliffe and James...
That's a very recent one. That's Victor Frankenstein. Victor Frankenstein. Which no one went and saw.
Nobody saw that one?
I can't say I know anyone who's seen that.
Exactly.
Clara, you were talking about your...
Oh, my air conditioning bill, yeah.
You tell me the number that you dropped the AC and I was kind of like... You're the person that I speak to at work all the time. And they're like, no, it's the meter. Go check it. It's like, no, ma'am.
No, it's the summer.
It's the summer.
Like, as soon as somebody explained it to me, it made sense. Yeah. Because, like, the temperature gauge is on the outside of the house, not the inside.
Mm-hmm.
It completely made sense to me. But I'm like, A, why is the gauge on the outside? That just sounds like you're trying to get my money. Really... Why has no one told me this? Like, why is there not like a letter through the letterbox? Like,
it is. Oh, well, no, there is. There's commercials. There is? There's commercials.
Did you look at that locker packet?
Who's your power company?
OUC.
OUC. Okay. I work for Duke Energy. So
I thought you could only have OUC.
Yeah. No.
In your area.
It depends in your area and stuff.
Okay. In my area, I can only have Duke.
Correct.
Okay.
So we put
and that's why you got your power first in Hurricane.
It's not
like
why Crespo.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I was last.
There's a system of why we connect
the
power
system
and
sucks.
Stuff like that.
It sucks.
It does, but it also sucks that you live inland into thing. We got to give power to the hospitals first.
Yeah, and downtown.
And downtown needs we need.
Otherwise,
the
we need tequila. Yeah. We need tequila.
You guys enjoy the dark. Have parties. You guys didn't
too,
have
too
parties?
Hot and sweaty.
7 days.
We are doing our hurricane kit on Saturday.
There you go. Yeah,
like someone's told me, like, do a hurricane kit. And
what's your hurricane kit?
To,
go.
We're gonna get water.
Uh huh.
Gonna get torches.
Torches? Some, okay.
Yeah,
right.
Like, not torch. Like
torch. Yeah, to fight vampires and stuff like that. Yeah, we got it. Torches,
lanterns, and torches.
Yeah.
And some like food that we can. So like energy bars and stuff that we can eat.
Okay.
Canned meats.
Well, we don't eat, like our house. We don't eat meat.
Oh,
so,
okay, fair enough.
Oh,
so get, canned like, vegetables.
Canned vegetables, corn.
Yes,
I like some sweet corn.
Lots of corn.
Sweet corn is the best way to go. I don't trust anybody that eats that puree corn.
The creamed corn.
Oh, it's so horrible.
Oh,
creamed corn. You ever get by accident bought like the creamed corn and you just
no,
like,
because you call it kettle corn over here, and it very confused me.
Kettle corn is the niblets.
Yeah, but they're just sweet corn.
Yes.
And that's what we call them in the UK. So I'm looking at like tins of bloody Green Giant and it says like kettle corn. And I'm like,
You just want sweet corn.
I just want sweet corn.
But it's the same thing.
Same thing. I have to really relabel it. I don't
know. Why
don't
you
don't
just
like,
take a risk and just buy it and try it? And
be I don't like
oh,
waste.
Just...
I don't know. I know what I like and I love to cook, but. No offense, you guys have a lot of like convenience
no
food, which
already
is
you're
really
offensive.
Gross.
You're offending people
it's
when you
really
say that.
It's really gross. Like a lot of your stuff is like.
Uh huh. How you like our candy?
It's garbage.
Too sweet.
It's
too sweet, good. Right?
It's not. I like Swedish fish.
Swedish fish.
But they're from Sweden.
But it's from Sweden.
You sell them here, though. Oh, I like candy canes as well. Like we get like the jars of candy canes.
Candy. So. Okay. So Christmas is just, you go crazy.
Oh, we deck the house out like Harry Potter. We like make a Diagon Alley. We have like hanging candles from the ceiling. Our tree has got like a sorting hat on it. We have like the Hogwarts banners all around the outside of the
That's
house.
So awesome, dude.
I was really injured. Like, so I had like busted my knee last year. So for me, like I was literally at home doing nothing in a new country where I knew no one.
Mm-hmm.
I made so many decorations. Our house was just like a bit crazy.
I'm gonna get you and Jack some flan. Some Puerto Rican flan. Puerto Rican flan.
You have to make it without dairy, though. I'm allergic to dairy.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
That is not even possible.
It's not possible.
It's a delicious Puerto Rican custard.
Scratch it. You're not going to ruin the Puerto Rican flan because of your dietary restrictions.
I'm sorry.
It's just, you're just going to miss out on it.
I'll just end up farting a lot. Like,
No. But I don't... I mean, you'll enjoy it.
I'm sure I will, but the rest of the room...
But the rest of the day, it's downhill from there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. May ruin your night.
Literally downhill from there.
Have you gone to any concerts since you've been here?
Concerts? No.
Rod Stewart was here a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
If you want my money. I don't think he sings that anymore.
No? He does kick the soccer balls.
We're going to the RuPaul show that's coming here in October.
My kid wants to go to that. Mm,
we got tickets for it a little while ago. So very excited.
Where's that at?
The... Plaza, I want to say.
The Plaza.
And we're also discussing the possibility of being a bit naughty and going to Las Vegas for the McGregor fight.
Hey. Why not?
it's a few months rent, but you only get to do it once.
Oh man, that McGregor. I can't wait.
He's a character.
It's the only reason I can watch UFC now, because there's no heroes out there. There's nobody interesting.
No one's ever for you know or I mean? Even against.
Other than the Diaz brothers. Hmm. The Diaz brothers.
Gaethje was pretty fun on Saturday.
Who?
Gaethje. It was on Saturday. He was the main event.
Oh yeah, but I mean, I'm just saying as personality wise.
Yeah, no, I get what you mean.
You know,
like
what I mean?
A pro wrestler in a UFC body
kind of thing. Mm. McGregor's just—he puts a dude. It's
he knows
just,
how to make money.
And everybody's tried to copy that, and just
you got to have it.
Yeah,
you have to have some level of it. You know,
he just has it.
Mayweather has it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because his boxing style isn't very exciting, but everything else he does is fascinating. So
the Diaz brothers have it.
Oh my god, you just like, I'm just waiting for like a bus to come in and hit them and then just to stand up and go like, what was that?
Yeah, that's how they are. Right? Oh, it's great. It's just, they just, and they don't like talking or anything like that. They just like to fight.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they're ruthless fighting. They don't do press count. They can't even talk properly.
Mm-hmm.
Or speak properly. Look at me.
That's why they don't like doing press conferences.
They can't talk properly.
All
right?
That's great.
All right, so let's get to...
Wait, have you been to any concerts?
Yes! Yes, I went... Okay, so I went to the JC Beyonce concert yesterday.
Big deal here.
I think it's going to ruin every concert that I go from here on out. Because I went to see Mark Anthony at the Amway Arena, and that kind of like... It was disappointing.
Why?
He did like an hour and a half.
That's it? Ooh,
that's it.
An hour and a half is a decent amount. Was there an opener?
There was a stand-up guy doing... he did like 45 minutes of material kind of thing. Okay. But then everybody's talking around. They're not there to see
that. Yeah, stand-up comedy in front of music.
I'd rather do music. Like, I've had more fun going to House of Blues and see cover bands.
Oh, the Led Zeppelin cover band.
Yeah,
and stuff
instead of AC/DC, it's called like High Voltage and stuff like that. Yeah. I saw the Van Halen tribute band, and the lead singer was 280 pounds, and he was doing scissor kicks and everything. And me and my buddy was like, "That guy's gonna tear his hamstring." Stick around.
I used to work for a cover band company in the UK.
Really?
I used to do Sporty Spice and the Spice Girls.
Shut up! I can see it. I can definitely see it.
I used to do ABBA as well and switch between Frida. Was it Frida? I can't remember what their names are. Frida and Benina or something. I can't remember.
And what were the like performances for? Was it private events?
So, Clara,
or?
You can sing.
Either.
You can sing.
Yeah, I was a singer before I was a wrestler. Shut up! I used to tour around with a Broadway company around like Italy and Greece.
You're like a talent Swiss Army knife. You just have a bunch. I can wrestle. I can sing.
I'm
can decorate.
I'm a ridiculous overachiever. Like, if like you put something in front of me and be like, learn that in a month, I'd be like, give me a week. Like,
I got nothing but time. Give me.
Yeah, right? Nothing but time. Come on.
Oh, man. This is... So you've been wrestling for how long?
5-6 years.
What made you jump into it?
It's when I was moving to Manchester and... Mm-hmm. I just finished, I'd finished touring and I moved to Manchester with one of my friends. And the story I always tell is we didn't have any internet. So we stole cable from above the flat above us and watched their TV. Like, watched whatever channel they were watching.
Oh, okay. So whatever channel they had on is what you had to watch.
And they just happened to watch Raw.
And that made it?
Like, that looks really cool. And I found a wrestling school the next day. And the rest is history. It just happened to be the one Jack was at as well. So that's where we met.
Oh, wow. Cool. Oh, that's so romantic too.
That's a lot of things coming together in one. Yeah.
Look at that.
When you write that story, that's like the main chapter. Like, this is where it all went down.
Yeah, right.
We met at a wrestling school. Give me some romantic music there. Find something.
Where's my
pick anything, I don't care. They met at a wrestling school. Destined to be together. They suplexed their hearts. Oh, you're going to give me the double voice. That's nice. Ooh, everybody. It's the story of Clara and Jack. This could easily be a John Cougar Mellencamp song, but it involves body slams. Ended the song. That's fine. I'm going to write this movie out. I'm going to write this movie out with Dan, and we're going to do a promo with the double.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be great. I'm pumped for it.
Pedro's so excited.
I am. I got so many options now.
Yeah.
I got so many toys to play with now that Clara's here. It's like, yes, good. Because I already, I've been with Dan for so long that it's just like, whoever shows up, that's who we're going to play with. And now you're like, oh, it's a new toy. Let's chew it. All right, Clara, you're the new teacher in town.
Ooh.
What are we learning about today?
School is in session. I thought that we might talk about the fall of the Romanov dynasty in Russia.
Okay.
So the Romanov family.
What year are we talking about? What's this?
Well, we'll start in the very late 1800s.
Okay.
And we'll start with. We'll start and finish with Nicholas II because there's so much to go over.
Okay.
And this is going to overlap into the Russian Revolution and into the First World War.
Okay.
But I'm going to kind of avoid that because I really want to talk about the Romanov family.
Yes. Okay.
Because it's just so bizarre and so weird and wonderful.
Weird in what way?
So Russia at the time is still like relatively primitive, so they still kind of believe in like witch doctors and like magic and like
Rasputin and shit.
Oh, he's coming in.
Shut up!
Yeah!
Oh, yay!
This is the fun bit of Russian history. There's not much fun history of Russia, but this one's definitely
I like this.
So we have a leader called Alexander III.
Of course.
And he has a son, Nicholas, who becomes Nicholas II. And he dies very suddenly.
What did he die of?
He gets like a kidney infection or like kidney disease and something.
It wasn't poison like Putin been doing people or anything like that? Radium or anything?
I'm not brave enough to say Americans' alleged relationship with Russian people. But
I like being here, so I'm not going to reserve comments.
I'm not going to dig.
It would be funny, you know how hilarious it'll be if ICE just shows up and just takes Clara out of here, and with the two Spanish people just being
suggesting things to them. No, we're talking about Russia. They're gonna listen.
They don't listen to this.
The episode is going to be Tuesday, so unless they're tapped into our closed circuit speed, we're good to go for now. But after Tuesday, watch out.
Okay, so he dies of a kidney infection.
Yeah, so he dies when he's 49, which doesn't like particularly sound like
49.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, this is sort of like late 1800s, early 19th. So it's relatively young, and there wasn't really a lot of like, oh, he's ill. It was kind of, he has kidney damage. Oh, he's dead. It was a very like sudden thing, and Nicholas wasn't even in Russia at the time. He was in France. So Nicholas like gets a letter through, and the story goes that Nicholas was like, but I don't want to be Tsar. Like, so the emperor of Russia is called the Tsar, and he's like, I'm not ready for this. I don't know how to do anything.
I just want to be in France eating bread and doing shots.
And spending time with his lovely wife-to-be, Alexandria.
Was she French?
She was not. She was German.
She was okay. Mm. All right. This man went all European.
Which will come into play a little bit later.
Okay.
Because Russia and Germany do not particularly see eye to eye. Even at this time, they don't particularly like each other.
At this time, was Germany just Germany, or were they broken into sections as
no,
East
no,
and
they
West?
Were still just Germany.
Germany, okay.
Yeah. Where were we? Nicholas.
Nicholas, right.
So Nicholas comes back to Russia, and Alexandria comes with him.
Okay.
And they get married about a month after his dad dies, and he's coronated.
Czar.
He's coronated to be the Tsar. So he's Nicholas II of Russia. No one's particularly happy with him marrying Alexandria.
Because she's an outsider.
Not particularly because she's an outsider.
Black hair.
But she's not an ideal match for him. She's not really of an important status.
Was she ugly or something?
No, not at all.
No? Okay.
She was the granddaughter of Queen Victoria of England.
Okay.
Her mother is the second child, and who married a duke, and so she's not like a princess or something. Maybe
she's
more suited. She's just a
commoner.
She's not common. She's noble, but she's not as high as.
So like a weird middle ground where she's still like kind of an aristocrat.
She's like Pippa. She's like Pippa, not Kate Middleton, but. But Pippa.
Okay, does that work?
Yeah, let's say she's Pippa.
Pippa's the sister, but the sister's like the one married to... I know this.
Sounds like Pippa's second cousin, maybe.
Yeah.
That they don't talk to anymore. She still lives in the castle, but she's like, she's already there.
She has like the far room in the castle that doesn't even have like a proper AC unit there. It's just a window unit.
Is there... Get out of here. So... When a Tsar gets married, is there a first lady expectation of a Tsar's wife at this point? Like a queen?
Yeah,
sort
so
of thing?
She's the Tsaress. She's the. Tsaress. Yeah, okay. She is the.
Oh, that's a fancy. That's a nice. The Tsaress.
So things are expected of her. She's kind of expected to do social gatherings and things like that, which Alexandria really didn't want to do.
Mm.
And she arrives in Russia. And it's a lot more grand than she's used to. It's a lot of ceremony, standing on ceremony. She doesn't really speak Russian.
Oh.
She speaks very bad Russian.
Oh.
But the courts at the time actually speak French, because why not? But she doesn't really speak French either. Her and Nikolai actually communicate in English. As a common language. But because the king died very suddenly, she never had the time to learn Russian, to learn their ways. So she ends up keeping herself to herself and drawing back from court, which kind of makes everyone be like, you're not good enough for us. Are you?
Mm-hmm.
Too good for you, CR.
That's the best Russian accent I've ever heard, Clara.
Nah, too
like
good
it.
For you. We are there, not too
there
good
we go.
For you.
There we go.
So people kind of really get a bad taste in their mouth from her.
And I'm pretty sure they started rumor mongering and be like, she could be a witch.
Maybe not.
Because if they believe in that stuff, they'll start rumoring and stuff like that.
Yeah, aren't they? For sure. They're they're like any court. They all chat between themselves. So her and Nikolai are married, and he becomes Nicholas II.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first big blunder of this particular reign happens, and there's a coronation, a coronation celebration.
Okay.
Where the citizens are being given small gifts as tokens from the empire.
Okay.
Little pins. They're expecting about 400,000 people to be there, and a million people show up.
Oh no!
And the rumors start. So all of these rumors about like what are in these bags start. So they're like cakes and bread and like, you know, really humble like little things.
Yeah.
And some of like the rumors go around are like, oh, if you get this bag, then you get a house. And like, if you get this one, there's gold in this one.
Oh my goodness.
And then rumor starts that there aren't enough for everyone. So
right. Clearly there wasn't.
That's a true rumor.
Yeah. But we'll never know. But a huge sort of riot starts and everyone's trying to push past each other. And within the space of like half an hour, like 1,000+ people are dead.
Whoa.
Like,
at the coronation.
Yeah. Well, this is not the coronation. So this is like a coronation like festival.
This is the gift giving like, celebration kind of thing. Everybody's going after that brown bag of bread. Yeah. Yes. They're like, yeah, we want the bread. It's like, no, there's not enough.
So it's a coronation after party massacre.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. It's the after party, but there isn't enough sushi.
Yeah. So don't let that rumor spread that there's not enough sushi, because then they'll start rushing the doors. Thousands dead in half an hour.
So at this point, everyone kind of expects Nicholas to go down and, you know, see the people and like make sure everything's okay. And he doesn't. He doesn't go. He doesn't really do much of anything.
He doesn't even
until much later.
No sympathy or empathy to the dead or anything like that. We're like, hey.
So it said that him and his wife were praying in the church when all of this was happening, but his father was enormously popular, and he was like a big man, and there'd been like a similar like train disaster, and him and his mother and his father were like helping people clearing the wreckage. There was like an expectation that he would do something like this, and he just didn't. Not particularly out of malice or anything, it's just more ignorance really.
Kind of sucks, because he really did not want to be Tsar.
Right.
He didn't. He's the opposite of the Lion King. You know how Simba, I can't wait to be king. He's like, I don't want to be king.
Yeah, it's the opposite.
For sure.
Sadder song.
Definitely. Yeah.
Father still dies.
But what makes this even worse is a few days later, I mentioned that like tradition and, you know, ceremony are very important in Russia. And there was a long-standing ball that happened at the French embassy, that's it, which happened like 4 days later, which Alexandria and Nicholas went to. And people were like, 1,000 people just died and you're going off to a ball? Like, what the hell, man?
Yeah.
So people are in mourning.
Did they bring gifts to the embassy? Because that would be a dick move.
They were only there for 10 minutes.
Oh, okay.
It was like long enough for the people to be like, we're in mourning and you're going to parties.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And this was like, you know, this was like a week after he'd been coronated. It was a real like doo-doo moment for him. Like, it just kind of put him in such a bad, like a bad taste in people's mouths with him.
But it's just decorum. It's all decorum. And he doesn't know.
He's being tone deaf.
I feel, yeah,
he's
I
not
feel,
reading the room.
100%.
I feel like I gotta be his spokesperson and defend him. Be like, listen, the guy didn't know. He's just trying to.
Yeah, we've been seeing a lot of that for the last couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah. History repeats itself.
But he's just a bit clueless. And like, his wife isn't helping at this point, because she's very humble. She's very like, she doesn't like a lot of opulence, and that's all the French court is. So they move out of the main palace, and they end up living in one of the country residences rather than into the main palace. And she decorates it in, you know, not really important, but she like decorates it in like quite like it's still expensive stuff, but not like gold plated sofas with diamond beads on them, like.
A little more subtle.
More subtle. So she starts having some children, and she has 4 daughters.
Oh,
we know from history.
What is up with these guys? They can't get a son.
That's never a good sign.
Oh, he's gonna.
Like, it's coming.
It's coming. He'll get a son.
Not from her.
but this puts her in quite bad standing with people, because people are like, oh, okay, you can't have a son.
So there's something wrong with you.
You know.
There's something wrong with her. You're not men.
Yeah. Oh, it's with her. She's the problem. Not him.
The woman's always the problem. Don't you know this?
Yeah.
What world are you living in?
Henry VIII didn't have syphilis. It was all of the six women that he slept with that couldn't have children. It's just ridiculous. But this situation kind of causes Alexandria to turn more towards spiritual healers and mystics and things. And she meets like a few... It's not yet. He is coming. Eventually, I can't remember. It's like Michener or something. Like Pope Michener or something. It's not a pope. Why did I say pope? But he's like a monk. Shakes a rattle over her, mm-hmm. and she becomes pregnant with a boy.
Ooh.
But he dies.
No.
But in sorry. Oh no, not the son. The Michener lady.
Oh well, even still, it's like we finally got the answer, but then he dies. So it's like,
yeah. But he yeah. He left a letter for her,
mm-hmm.
which said that eventually someone will come along to replace me, who will be your spiritual guide. And so they have the son, and it becomes very, very apparent that the son has something wrong with him.
Oh.
And I can never remember. Hemophilia? I think it's hemophilia.
Hemophilia, okay. He very pale? He looked very sickly and stuff like that.
So it's basically a disease, mm-hmm. that means that if he gets like a cut...
He bleeds out.
He bleeds out. Yeah.
It's joked about being like the royal disease, because like I said last time I was here, that royal families in Europe are real inbred,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that the
so there's a common affliction.
It really like comes out in boys, but females are carriers.
Of course.
So that one you can blame on the women.
Okay,
like, that one's actually
just
genetically
that one.
So what? The kid's alive, but he just can't.
He is. He's
alive.
Can't
cut the kid. Wrap him in some pillows. He's good to go.
Oh, so they do. They absolutely
bubble wrap him.
They bubble wrap him and they give into they give into everything. This kid is such a brat. Like, he is such an asshole. Yeah.
Oh,
like,
wow.
At
what age did they determine he's an asshole? Like, real young?
Well, no, they just never really said no to him. So, like, he had four sisters running around playing and things, and then he's, like, you know, having to be kept in a chair or having to be kept from, like, running around.
Oh.
And so if he said, like, oh, I want a donut, they're not going to say no. They're going to give him a donut.
Of
but
course.
This, like, yeah, this definitely...
They had donuts in Russia. So write that down.
They had the best donuts.
Of course.
Krispy Kreme has the lemon glazed donut going out until September 2nd,
Oh, my God. Do you know what? I learned about, like, the orange light in Krispy Kreme.
The light. Like, it's just called the light. It's just called the light. But go ahead.
So his name is Alexei. He's named after his father.
Mm-hmm.
Alexei, his name is Nicholas. Sorry, Nikolai.
Yeah, I was about to say. Alexei. I was about to say that explains a lot about that rattler.
Sorry.
Okay.
But so at one point he falls over and he cuts his knee, and it's quite a bad one. It is a
Game over.
And at this point, Queen Alexandria remembers a monk, well, a holy man that someone had mentioned and that she had met once at a dinner called Rasputin.
Yay! Here comes the star.
And Rasputin comes in and he... Like, not many people know what is wrong with the young prince. They don't know about mm-hmm. his disease. And he seems to already know what his illness is. And he asks the queen if he can, like, bend over the bed and pray. And he does. And the next day, Nicholas is fine. He put a band-aid on.
That's what he did. He bent down. He goes, hey, can I pray? He just went down and just went.
Well, he had an adhesive strip.
Yeah. The creator. A lot of people don't know Rasputin. Inventor of the band-aid.
The flesh-colored band-aid.
He is fine. He is absolutely fine. So let's do a bit of background on Rasputin because he's fun.
Yes.
So it's from an area in Russia called Siberia.
Oh, the fun place. Yeah, I've heard about that place.
The real fun place where people get sent when they're just too much fun.
Yeah.
It's cold. It's awful. Like, there's nothing.
Is he a tall guy? There. He's tall.
He's... So I don't know how tall he was, but I know he had a reputation of, like, being very charismatic, being quite unconventionally handsome, and having very, like, hypnotic eyes. So, like, when his eyes were just, like, fixed on you. There's some angry dogs.
What is it? Are those your dogs?
I don't
have dogs. You don't have dogs. I was about to say. That's Rasputin. That's Rasputin sending a message. That's
Rasputin. I said him. I said the name.
The R word.
Yeah. So Rasputin.
So he's like Jeff Goldblum.
Ollie, handsome and weird and charismatic. Yeah. Okay.
Jeff Goldblum is kind of like, is he handsome? Is he, or the other guy? What's that, Doctor Strange?
Benedict
Cumberbatch.
Yeah. It's a weird kind of thing. It's like some girls find him attractive and some are like, I don't get it. It's like, all right. So 100%. He's in that.
He's like that, yeah. Okay. But he's not particularly well liked where he lives because he like steals stuff a lot. And eventually, like, he steals a horse from somebody.
That's like stealing a car back then, Clara. So of course people are gonna be mad. Where's my car? Rasputin just, you know, horse jacked it.
Grand Theft Equine.
So he flees to a monastery and stays there for a while. And while he's there, he realizes, oh, I'm not weird. I'm just a holy man. Because he's always kind of had these, like, visions of the future.
So he found himself.
Like, he found himself a little bit. He has a wife and four kids, by the way, but it's really not important to...
Wait, what?
He has a wife and four kids.
Before he found himself?
Yeah, so he leaves them.
Of course, that's what it was. That's the excuse. So, yeah, I've heard that excuse. My uncle used it.
So, go ahead. After this, he decides to go off on a find himself journey.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
spiritual journey.
Yeah, he didn't go like go to Thailand and like, you know, get a Chinese name and stuff like that. He went walking around Russia and walking around Greece, and he eventually comes across this sect of religion, which I can't for the life of me remember the name of, but they were kind of like outcasts,
gypsies.
No, they were like a religion. They were just a bit extreme.
Orthodox.
They were more like a cult.
Okay.
And they basically had this idea that if you committed sin, then you could be closer to God because you were sin and then repented.
Oh, okay.
That's a very interesting pro-sin approach to religion. I can get that.
So advice... Yeah, because
do you know what? As a man, I think you get along with this in order for them to commit sin, they have orgies with lots and lots of women.
Well, that's a lot of sin.
And then repent.
I mean, that is a lot of sin.
I mean, you can knock out a lot of sins really quick with an orgy. I just understand the efficiency of it. Really. Yeah. That's what's going on there.
So he joins this and he likes it very much. Because Rasputin's a bit of a womanizer, a bit of a drinker, and oh my goodness, a religion that says he can have orgies with people, he's well on board.
As long as you repent when you're done.
Yeah. So he takes all of this and he like goes back to his village and he starts like doing this. He like digs out a basement in his house and like starts this religion in his house. And then eventually he says that he's been called to St. Petersburg by God because he has to go and help the Tsar and the Tsarina. So he goes to St. Petersburg, where he gets a bit of a reputation for himself as a womanizer and a drunk, and a bit of a... He's very good at what he does. Like, he's a healer. Like, he's very convincing at what he does. Like, people are like, no, legit, he can heal people.
So does he know, like, a little bit of medicine then, at least for the time?
He's no idea. That...
Listen,
no
he's
idea.
Like the drunken master. The drunken master is good at his martial arts only when he's drunk.
So when Rasputin's drunk and womanizing, that it gives him the powers to also lay hands on people.
He needs to be engulfed in sin so he could be good at his talent.
That sounds like witchery.
But this is a Russia that believes in this kind of thing. Yeah. You know, he's not the only person like claiming healing hands. He just happens to have been in the right place at the right time.
Oh,
more than
well,
the
course.
Other people have, and he's got a bit more credibility behind him. So he ends up at the bed of the heir of Russia, little Nikolai. And he heals him, and that is all the proof that Alexandra needs that he is for real. And
he's the second coming of this
the minister of health.
And they become best friends.
Wow.
Best friends.
So her and Alexandra are best friends. Nikolai is just still kind of like...
Yeah, Rasputin and Alexandra become like best friends.
Okay.
And
where's Nikolai in this?
The king. Uh-huh. The czar.
The king, I'm sorry. The czar.
The reluctant czar.
He is, at this moment in time, he is in Japan. Well, not in Japan. He's fighting Japan.
Okay.
And losing to Japan.
Hmm.
And...
Why is he fighting Japan?
So Japan, like, try and take a bit of China that they shouldn't. And Russia comes in and goes, well, this is our bit of China.
Hmm.
And China's like, can I have a say? And they're like, No.
You stay out of this,
you
China.
You stay out of this. So they have a war. And the problem is, Russia is just not very good at war. They just aren't. They don't have, like...
Samurais.
Russia is just so big. Mm-hmm. It's so big. Mm-hmm. And it's so... hard to move anything. They're
mountains.
It's very hard to move a mountain, but it's harder to move a tank a few thousand miles as well. A
lot of bears.
So it's just very difficult for them to mobilize a decent force. And like against his advisors, Nicholas II, the Tsar, he signs a peace treaty, which makes the people of Russia very, very mad.
Because he just gave it up to Japan.
It wasn't like a bad treaty, but at this time, Russia does not need a lot. They already want a revolution. At this point, they already want one. And all they need is like someone to just poke like a tiny bit. Mm-hmm. And they're just going to like blow up. So they take this and they roll with it. And there is a mass like strikes and movements and... all over Russia.
Is it because they think that he showed weakness?
Yes, absolutely.
It's because of weakness.
Showed
okay.
weakness. Nothing came from it, and it cost a lot of money, and a lot of people died.
A lot of Russian pride.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. A lot of Russian pride went. People were not happy, so they went on strike. And eventually this led to a political standoff where the Tsar had to agree to certain things to give to the people.
Bread.
So it was things like
the gifts.
Remember
those gifts?
Give me those
gifts. There's 600,000 gifts still missing.
Give me the bag with the house in it.
Yeah.
So eventually, it was stuff like loans for land and things, and more freedom of assembly and like freedom of speech and things like that. You know, all the things they're not allowed these days. Yeah. 100 years later,
I want to keep a bear as a pet. I don't need a license for this bear, Tsar. I want to keep him. He even has a name. His name is Ivan.
Ivan the bear.
Of Ivan. Course. Oh, no, not Ivan. That's a terrible name.
It's terrible, get it?
It's terrible.
It's
Ivan
terrible.
The Terrible.
So, yeah, they have this, and then they come to an agreement, and things are kind of chill for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it actually, a lot of things go very well in Russia for quite a long time.
How does Nikolai feel about this new friendship with Rasputin and Alexandra?
So, Nicholas and Alexandria, like, all historians agree, they are just so in love with each other.
Okay.
Like, this is, like, a legit couple. You know, they turn people off a lot because they don't really act like imperial family. They spend a lot of time with the kids. Like, she breastfed her own children, which I know sounds bizarre, but...
But back
then... Back in those days, like, you would give it to a wet nurse. It was uncalled for. Mm. Like, unheard of for a queen to
I learned
breastfeed.
That from Game of Thrones. Wet nurse.
Yeah. That she would do things like that, which are really normal things for families to do, but they just didn't act like an imperial family at all.
Mm.
Isn't
amazing that they had a lady just strictly there just to breastfeed the offspring of somebody else.
It's a good gig if you can get it.
It's a good gig. Hi, and just
sit there and hold the baby.
No. But,
okay, yeah, so they
like he likes Rasputin as well.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
With the boys,
Rasputin for all he's proved, he's looking after their son. He's looking after the heir of Russia. Like okay. he saved their life. Like okay. You know, he's so Rasputin is given unprecedented access. He can come and go as he pleases out of the house. He even has
a very security
close
badge.
Relationship with the daughters. And there's a bit of like did he or didn't he, like with the daughters. He was caught in their bedrooms a couple of times by like the maids and things.
Healing hands. That's
please
all.
Tell me those kids were of age.
Well,
what's of age?
The two elder ones were like, how old were they around this time? Maybe like 16, 17.
That's like 32 back then. Mm. Okay.
I was going to say late 1800s. Yeah,
I mean, they wrote a lot. Like, the daughters wrote a lot. And, like, there are letters from them to Rasputin saying, like, they, like, called him uncle and thing. Like, yeah, it was a very close friendship.
Okay.
But, you know, people, rumors. You know,
okay.
Who knows what goes on behind closed doors? I'm not saying he did or he didn't. I'm just saying they're the rumors. But so, as far as like Russian economics, everything was going okay.
Okay,
you know? Like the imperial family were being left alone to, you know, be the family, and Russia was like okay. And then the First World War happened.
Who started that
thing?
That thing. The greatest war.
And Germany.
Oh, that's right. This is like the World Cup. Germany's
declared
in
war
it.
On, oh, yeah. This is like.
Because. Okay.
You have like the triad versus like the triple entente. And
okay, so Germany's in it. And Alexandra's. Is she conflicted because she's German?
No, not particularly. Okay. So, at the same time that war is being declared, funnily and coincidentally enough, Rasputin had pissed off quite a couple of religious people around the area. I know, so weird, right? Like, having orgies in your house.
Just showing up at church drunk. Hey!
Yeah, pretty much. He would do stuff like that, like, and really piss him off.
Yeah.
And he
would trash talk other religions?
Yeah. Yeah, for real.
Oh.
He was so disrespectful and rude, and he was not light at all. Like, he
but
really
he
wasn't.
Had that clout because he had the
he
backing
had,
of the.
Yeah, for real.
Oh, I can just picture him just walking like McGregor into churches and just trash talking. Oh, it's so great.
But so, like, these two monks confront him and basically, like, flail him with a cross. Like, saying, like, you're a demon, like, you're awful. So he goes and cries to the Tsarina. He goes and tells Alexandria what they did, and Alexandria has them exiled.
Just like that?
Yeah, just like that.
Oh, what a cry. What a bitch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it worked, though.
It worked.
Yeah,
it
but,
worked.
But still, dude, you look for a fight, you get hit by a cross. Mm-hmm. You don't go cry. They hit me with the cross. And then they had
that's a solid weapon.
I'll get him out. Yeah. I'll get him out of here. That's my Alexandra
that's
voice.
Your Tsarina.
That's my Alexandra voice. That's my Tsarist.
Yeah, so at the same time as like the First World War is being declared, these two monks that have been exiled send a prostitute into Russia.
Just one?
And yeah.
Okay.
And at this time Rasputin had gone back to his hometown to see his wife and his kids, remember them? And this prostitute tries to kill him. And she slices his belly open and pulls all of his intestines out.
Oh, word.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Disemboweled.
Yeah.
But he doesn't die.
Oh!
He's still alive. But Alexandra, like, sees this as, like, we declared war. And Rasputin's, like, almost died. Like, she sees, like, a mirror here.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like, a spiritual mirror. And it's unfortunate because Rasputin actually tries to write letters to the Tsar telling Nicholas, like, please don't declare war. This is going to be really bad for Russia. Don't do it.
Hmm. The voice of reason is Rasputin with guts in the ground.
Who knew?
He's trying to keep it together. Hold on, I got to write this.
It's like, someone, boy, take a note.
Oh, yeah.
Grab my spleen.
But, like, so But, like, Nicholas doesn't want to hear it because he's finally popular again with the people because everybody loves a good war.
Everyone loves a good patriotism,
and, like, people are cheering for him and Russia pride until...
I got these pitchforks. They got that sour taste from Japan. They want to hit something. Yeah, I get it.
And, you know, until a month later when, you know, over a million Russians are dead.
When the war happens. Ooh. When there's actual war. Yeah. And then I go, that was a bad
idea. It's really bad. And so Nicholas is at the front lines with the troops because that's where he should be, and he leaves.
Oh, really? Okay, this is old school.
Yeah, this is old school. Mm-hmm. It's Russia. Okay. Russia's old school.
Okay.
But he leaves Alexandria in charge of the government when he goes, which in itself isn't the best decision he's ever made because she really doesn't have very much political savvy or support or... not liked, but even more so that she takes Rasputin with her and he becomes an advisor.
The Steve Bannon to her. Yeah, there you go.
And he becomes this symbol that people wanting a revolution can just cling on to because he's a really weird looking man. There start being rumors about him and Alexandria having an affair.
Oh, no.
You know, he kind of gets referred to as like the second Tsar. Because he's making so many decisions for Russia. Mm-hmm. And people get very, very mad. Especially the Romanov extended family and the aristocrats. So eventually, the cousin of Nikolai.
How did Nikolai take this? Nikolai didn't care. He's busy with a war.
Nikolai doesn't give a...
shit. You can curse. You can curse.
He doesn't give a shit. He's just a... bad Tsar. He really is, because he doesn't want to be Tsar. He's not a bad person. He just
wanted to live his life. He just got forced into this.
And being the Tsar of Russia is just a thankless job. No matter what you do in Russia, like, you can't make it any better.
Of course.
It's big. There's
especially
like,
when you started off by leaving 600,000 people without partying gifts.
Yeah, right. Didn't get their gifts.
Yeah, yeah.
No thank you notes.
Yeah, of course.
You know? Mm.
You know how much that sucks? You ever go to a party and you don't there's not enough partying gifts bags. And you're like, oh, what's going on here?
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah.
That's why you do RSVPs.
Yeah. You gotta do a head count.
Ahead of time, please. Yeah, let me know. But when you start getting enough pizzas.
Yeah. I tell my wife, just grab something in the house you like.
Just walk in and get something.
Yeah. Grab something. Okay. So recap. Nikolai doesn't care. He trusts Alexandria all the way. Rasputin is giving advice.
Puppet Tsar.
It's a little puppet Tsar, and the rumors are going around that they're banging and they're hooking up, but that's not really the case.
Maybe.
He's just, oh, maybe. We don't know. And then he's also hooking up with the daughters there. And,
maybe not.
We don't know.
They're a close-knit family.
Because he looks like Jeff Goldblum with a beard and stuff like that, and probably has a cat. Does he have a cat? Because everybody evil has a cat.
He might do.
Yeah. Let's say for the sake of the story, he has a cat.
12. He definitely has
a big old 12 cats.
12 cats. And a big old belly scar.
Yeah. And it's those Siamese cats.
Oh, he does have a big old belly scar.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. How did he survive that?
Because he's Rasputin.
He shoved his guts back, dude.
He's a god. He's like an emissary of God.
Mm. Okay.
Like,
yo, dude.
The Lord healed him. Yeah, yeah. But he says to Alexandria one day, he's like, I've had a vision and I think my downfall is imminent, but if it's by any of your family, if it's anyone that shares your family blood, then your family will die within 2 years of my death.
Whoa.
So he says this to her. He's right.
Of course.
He nailed it.
But that's how gypsies do it. Like, I used to, like, my grandmother was into Santeria and stuff like that. And they just give you just general information.
And then you fill in the blanks.
Obviously.
Yeah, but it's kind of specific, though. Someone in your family kills me, your family will fall in 2 years.
Yeah, I'm not clairvoyant.
I'm pretty sure, like, someone at this point has, like, threatened him or something, but... So a cousin of theirs invites Rasputin to a dinner party. And this isn't out of the blue, because there are rumors that this particular cousin is inclined to the male persuasion, and him and Rasputin have been having a gay love going on. They're sinning.
They're getting closer to God.
Closer to God. There you go. So he invites him round. And they stage this like pretend party that they've had. So there's like a table with like crumpled up
plain Duran Duran and stuff like that. I get it.
And they sit him down and they're like, oh, well, a couple of the guests are upstairs, we're gonna bring them back down. Do you want anything to eat? And he's like, oh yeah. So they put wine and they put a couple of like cream cakes in front of him.
Okay.
And the cream cakes and the wine are laced with cyanide. And he eats them and he drinks the wine and he doesn't die.
Rasputin's the dude. It's that dude. He's that dude.
Yeah. So hours go by.
Wait, did anybody else die?
No.
He ate all the cream cakes and the wine?
They just gave it to him.
They're trying to kill him.
Just to him.
Yeah, they're trying to kill him. They've invited him here
to
kill him.
I wonder
if it's a murder party.
Here, eat this. And you still see like the powder, the cyanide kind of thing. He's like, oh, psst, watch this.
I'm
from Siberia. I don't have
I'm
a Russian
accent. I'm from Siberia.
West Siberia, bitch.
Yeah.
But, so he doesn't die.
So he doesn't die for ages. And there's like enough...
For sun. Ages?
Yeah.
10 minutes in, that cousin better be shitting himself.
Yeah, they were. They were like... They thought that he wasn't dying because God was intervening. Because there was enough like cyanide in the wine and the cakes to like kill 4 people.
How many people were into this murder thing? The whole party?
No.
Or just the cousin?
Like, no, there was like the cousin and his wife and like one other person.
Yo!
They were freaking out.
You know the conversation in the kitchen after he ate the cream cake?
Like, are you sure you gave him the white glass of white wine?
Did
someone else drink the wine?
He ate all the cupcakes.
It's like that friend who has like a weed brownie and doesn't know his weed brownie.
They start accusing each other.
God, he ate the brownie.
Ralph, how much cyanide did you put in that cupcake? I put all of it. That's just not enough.
Are you sure? He ate the whole thing. It's gone.
Linda, how much cyanide you put in that wine?
Someone check on him. Is he okay? He looks okay to me.
He's fine. Is he wobbling? He's not wobbling.
He's going back for more wine.
Holy shit. He got one of the cats. He's just playing with the cat right now.
What are we going to do now?
So
what did they do?
So they shot him.
Shut up!
They went and got a pistol and they shot him a bunch of times.
Shut up!
Boom, 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 boom. And they're like,
forget
subtle
approach.
Yeah, forget this. Well, they tried the subtle approach and apparently God doesn't want him to die through poison, so let's just shoot him.
That's so funny.
So they shoot him and they shoot him so much, like.
50 cent amount of shots. Okay.
They shoot him a lot. They're talking. And one of the guys, like out of the corner of his eye, notices that Rasputin's eyes are opening. He's still alive.
That dude is gangster, son!
So they go upstairs and they're like, what are we gonna do? This is clearly,
I got no more
this
bullets.
Is clearly God. Mm. Like, this is clearly God intervening. Are we gonna keep going with this or are we gonna repeat?
Yeah!
Or...
You gotta finish it!
So they go back downstairs.
They stab him.
Rasputin's gone.
Shut up! Shut
they
up!
They left the body alone? Oh, yeah. Man.
There's a trail of blood nobody wants to follow.
Yeah.
He had crawled up a bunch of stairs and was outside.
That's insane.
And so they find him outside and they just start shooting. And they just start shooting at him and one of them hits him in the head. And so they've shot him up again. Go over to find him. He's still alive.
He's on weak guns, man. They're like,
dude, yeah, just pal, just
yeah. Right, the bullets actually bouncing off him.
Yeah, what are you doing? Like, they're like, yeah, they haven't gone into the organs. They're just embedded in there. But he's bleeds still the same.
Like, this kind of hurts, guys.
So
and he's been drinking, so you know how it thins out the blood.
Oh,
so
sure,
you see,
yeah.
It's like when
cyanide
I had the cyanide on top,
man.
So he walks out.
So they stab him a bunch of times.
There's a stabbing.
Again?
Yeah, they stab him a bunch of times and they roll him up in a carpet and chuck him in the back of a car and they drive him to a bridge.
Shut up. Are you giving me the plot of Goodfellas?
This is what happened. This is the legend of Rasputin. This is why Rasputin is so famous.
They wrapped him up. So Joe Pesci, Robert De Niro, Ray Liotta just have him in the trunk like Billy Bats.
Yeah, exactly.
And they throw him over. Like, they throw him into a lake, a frozen lake. And they're hoping the current will, like, take him out to sea. And it doesn't. And
it just prevents the blood from coming out.
A couple of days later, his body's found. He's dead. He is dead. He eventually dies.
He dies of hypothermia. Not from the stabbing. Not from the bullets.
Who knows?
Not from the cyanide.
Well, they find the body, and they do an autopsy, and they find water in his lungs. So he actually drowned.
The river took him.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, this is a true story. My wife's uncle has been shot. He was stabbed. Survived it both.
Is he Russian?
He fell. No, it could have been. Oh man, we should do a 21 and me. Well, he's dead anyway. He fell from 12 stories from the projects that in New York. Survived. Mm. Dies of the cold.
Oh,
dies of the
cold.
Of the flu. Of the flu. Sorry.
Oh, wow.
Influenza.
Influenza. Yeah, dies of influenza.
Yeah, but did all those things happen to him in a span of like an hour? That's what happened to
Rasputin. I wonder if he was like, oh man, the Puerto Rican Rasputin was my wife's uncle.
Puerto Rasputin.
Rasputito.
So they finally do kill him. Wasn't there a rumor about them chopping off his generals or something like that? Is that a whole thing?
I've never heard about that.
They probably tried it.
Google that.
There's
one,
so
kids.
Many rumors and legends about Rasputin. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm skipping through quite quickly here. There's a lot of mystery and weird like rumored stuff. Mm. And Rasputin is so fun. If you have like a couple of hours to go into the rabbit hole and come out, like, and you'll need a drink, but like, it's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
What is it, Anastasia?
Anastasia. So this is one of the daughters. So
it's one of the daughters.
You have Olga, Tatiana.
Ooh, Olga's a horrible name.
Olga's the eldest. You have Tatiana.
No offense to all the Olgas out there.
You have Maria. You have
Maria's a beautiful
Anastasia,
name.
Anastasia.
Uh-huh.
And you have Alexei.
Wow, Olga.
Son. Yeah, Olga's the oldest.
Mm. Olga and Jeffrey, the two worst names in European history.
Oh, poor Olga. Well, you're about to feel really bad for her because something really bad happens now.
No.
Yeah. So the First World War goes really badly, and there's an overthrow of the royal family. There's a lot of things that happen, but there's an overthrow of the royal family, and the Tsar is basically made to sign away his right to be Tsar. He's asked to abdicate the throne, which he doesn't, you know, doesn't take too much convincing.
Okay.
Let's say. He's like, all right.
Yeah. We want you to... Okay. Then even tell him those things. Okay, fine.
There you go.
Right, fine.
And so Russia's taken over by socialists and, you know, he's like, all right, I'm going to go and chill with my family. Which he very happily did. And the plan was that he was going to go find asylum in England with his cousin George.
Of course, his name is George.
Oh, King George, of course, darling.
Of course.
Unfortunately, the three of out of the five children fall ill with measles.
Oh.
So they can't travel at this time because the kids are too ill.
Mm.
Which is really
three of the four. I'm assuming the boy and two of the girls.
No, he's not. He's not got the measles, so
he's still battling that knee scrape.
I think Maria's the only one that doesn't have measles. I think it's Olga, Tatiana, and Anastasia who have measles.
Okay. Is that you? Is that me?
That's
you. Okay.
No, it's not me.
Oh, that's me. My bad.
This guy over here.
So it's Angel Rivera trying to call me and decline.
But so yeah, they have measles, so they can't travel to England to live there, which is really, like, I think is the saddest kind of part of their story because I think they would have been really happy to just go there, live in their little country house with the family. Like,
he got a job that he never wanted.
Yeah.
Dealt with his family. His son almost died from a knee scrape.
Yeah.
Had this crazy dude come over here and heal it. Went to war while him and his boy and his wife were just, you know, keeping Russia together in a job they didn't want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They finally get their wish and be like, okay, you don't have to be sorry. Go wherever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Kids catch the measles.
Yeah. And unfortunately...
They die?
During that time between them having measles and them not having measles, the King of England kind of rethinks giving them asylum because of the situation going on in Russia. So
we don't want the measles over here.
A few months later, unfortunately not. And then there's an overthrow of the new Russian Duma or whatever it's called. by two people called Lenin and Trotsky.
Lenin? I know that name.
Lenin. You will know the name Lenin. This is kind of the start of their the communist movement in Russia.
So they wait. Hold on. So they can't go to any other country other than that.
They're put under house arrest. The whole family are put under house arrest, and they are transported to Siberia.
Oh no!
And put under house arrest. And they're kept there for about a year, I think, and then. Someone decides that they're probably more trouble than they're worth.
Man.
Yeah.
And they did not want... you started this. This was fun, Clara. But then you're gonna end the story with like the saddest...
It's a really sad ending.
No shit!
Oh, it's the fall of the Romanov.
I know, but we could've... Oh, man. Okay,
this
so
is the fall
Siberia.
Part. The falling is happening.
Some asshole says they're gonna be more trouble.
Yeah.
Somebody should have done some research and be like, they didn't want to even want to be here.
Hmm. Well, they're taken to what was nicknamed the House of Repurpose or something, or I can't remember what they used to call the house, but it was a house used to get rid of people, basically.
Oh.
And they took them there, and they put them all down into the basement, and they shot each and every one of them.
Man.
So all four of the
like Joe Pesci at the end.
Yeah, just like in a basement.
Goodfellas. Oh. Yeah.
So yeah.
So ignoble and dirty.
Yeah.
So
they couldn't even get a good hanging. A good public hanging.
A good public hanging. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, with mourners and stuff.
Yeah, and stuff like that. People are like, hang
nope.
them or whatever.
Take them to a basement.
It's probably that asshole. It's probably one of those assholes that didn't get a gift thing at the
Angel's really hung up on those cords.
Well, there's a lot of people. You ever not. And honestly, you invite somebody to a
this
party.
This guy went to a Halloween party and didn't get his treat bag when he was 7 years old.
No.
Stuck with them.
Because I don't get my wife is very particular about make sure that there's enough partying gifts. I could give a shit, but I know people that talk shit about other people's parties and stuff like that. And be like, I went to a party, and so then I'm pretty sure they talk shit to the whole coronation. It festered,
and then they're like, we're gonna build this house, and one day we're gonna kill that entire family in this basement.
And finally, this guy had enough power to be like, hey, Lenin. I got a suggestion.
Yeah.
Bring that family over to this house.
Is it Lenin makes the decision ultimately? Or?
Yeah, it's Lenin makes the ultimate. So at this point, Lenin's kind of got rid of Trotsky and they're having the whole Red Army thing going on. But yeah, it's a really sad. So they bring them all down into the basement because they're like, oh, people think you're dead. We need you to pose for a photo. They pose him for a photo.
Oh, that's such an asshole move. Okay, look into the flash.
So it's really sad.
This this camera has a barrel. Well, just look into the camera.
They're told that they're gonna be killed. They're told that they've been found guilty, and everyone is shot.
Oh, they're dressed up like ready to take a picture and shit, and they just get the news. Not a family picture.
So the people shoot so much that the room is full of smog, and they have to open up the door to let the air go out. And when they open the door, they realize that three of the girls are still alive. And the door is open now, so they can't shoot them. So they stab them with the bayonets.
Oh.
Yeah. And then it's
if we learn anything about this episode, other than Rasputin was a badass, is that Russian guns suck.
Well, on this occasion, there's a reason given. So when they eventually undress the girls, I don't know whether this is more propaganda or whether it's something that actually, they say that the corsets that they were wearing were laced with jewelry and diamonds and things, which caused the bullets to not come in. But I don't know whether that was being they were hiding diamonds, those
bulletproof diamond vests those rich girls had.
But this is where the legend of Anastasia comes in, because when all the bodies were found of the Romanov family, two of them were not found. One of the girls and Alexei, the boy, the young prince.
Yeah.
And Lexi's eventually found in a different burial site. But the girl's body is never actually found.
Oh.
Which leads into the mystery of Anastasia. But there's like an argument between like whether it's Anastasia or whether it's Maria. And quite honestly, I don't think either.
You picked a sexy name. It's Anastasia.
Anastasia. It would be nice to think that these, you know...
Well, how many books can you sell with just Maria or Anastasia? You know what I mean? It's, yeah. it's a fancier name.
Anastasia became very popular because there was a woman called Anna who claimed to be the Grand Duchess Anastasia for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. Like, eventually, like, a DNA test like came about and it said that she wasn't. But I think... Is it possible? For sure, it's possible somebody escaped. Is it likely?
No.
No. This was quite an important job, which took a lot of gut. There were a lot of people doing it, and but yeah, so that's the end of the Romanov family.
Yo, but the assholes to murder a kid. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just
they do. They eventually, like, so Russia do actually consider them saints now. And,
yeah. Who, the kids?
Yeah, so yeah, the kids, not the parents.
No, oh, the entire family? Oh.
So, like, when I was sort of looking into this and looking into the story, there was a kind of comparison made between the Romanov family and the sacrifice that Jesus made, in a religious sense, because in order for Russia to have a revolution and to build, like, to grow as a country, the Romanov family had to die.
Oh.
But
that didn't gather up the people and be like, yeah, let's...
No, the people were not told about their death for quite a long time. They were told that Nicholas II had been killed, but they were not told that the children... And that his wife had been killed.
Oh, for that's a very so long time. Sad.
Yeah, it's really sad. Like,
no, yeah.
When you think they just, like, I just, like, looking back and I'm like, oh, if they didn't have measles, like.
They could have got out.
Yeah.
That is one of the big defining moments.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Which is a good lesson here. Vaccinate your kids, people.
Watch out, you anti-vaxxers.
Yeah. Stop listening to Jenny McCarthy. Please.
I mean, there's so much, like, mystery. So, like, I completely, like, missed out the part that they find, like, an old scroll by an old...
What's in the scroll?
So, like, this scroll... This is, like, way back. So, this is before the children are even born.
Prequel.
This is the prequel that they find, like, a scroll... Like, well, they don't find a scroll. There is a note left by an emperor who eventually is murdered, but before he's murdered, this is Paul the First, I think, he leaves a note and says, like, open this in 100 years. So 100 years later, the Tsar and the Tsarina go and they open it up and they read it, and no one's ever really sure what it says because they don't really tell anyone, but the legend goes that it was a recorded conversation that this particular emperor had with a monk, Nostradamus.
Oh, I know that dude.
Okay. Well, so there were a few Nostradamuses.
Oh, okay.
So this is like the Russian Nostradamus.
Oh, so there's Nostradamai.
Yeah, there's a bunch of Nostradamus.
So,
it's a flock of Nostradamus.
So in this conversation, that things like Catherine the Great's death is predicted, and other things are predicted, and right at the end,
a celebrity will be president. Oh, okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure. Okay, like, that'll ever happen. But it allegedly predicted the downfall of the Romanov family, of Nicholas II's family, and it said, like, you will have to make the ultimate sacrifice, but after you do know that Russia will get really, really bad before it eventually gets good. It, like, it says something about, like, the plagues of Egypt will, like, come over Russia, and the date of 1918 is very important, and he says, like, it says in the note, like, 1918 is going to be your downfall year.
Yeah, Nostradamus had 2000. Yeah, the year 2000. The world was.
Well, you throw enough numbers out there, some of them are going to stick.
First, it was 1975.
There were a lot of, like, weird things like that. Like, weird, like, oh, well, So, like, his, like, grandfather, Alexander II, was told by a soothsayer that he, like, there would be 7 attempts on his life. And there were 7 attempts on his life. And then he died, like, half an hour after the 7th attempt by the 8th attempt.
Whoa.
And yeah. there's just really weird stuff. Like, if you ever want to, like, lose yourself, look at the Romanov family. They're so weird. Like, it's like Russia
is Rasputin
weird.
Is that dude.
Rasputin?
Yeah. Rasputin is that
all
dude.
Russians,
yeah.
That's crazy.
I didn't know Nostradamus was Russian until now, honestly.
Is it Russia,
there's more than yeah. more than one Nostradamus.
Is it just like a
Russian
title?
Yeah, she said Russian Nostradamus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is a title. Nostradamus is a title or?
Or
is it like
name.
The name Oscar or something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, it's a name. It's like Nostradamus.
Crespo Damas is the title.
Crespo Damas is a great name.
Yeah, when I get things right, it's Crespo Damas.
Man, Clara, I don't want you to tell my kids any bedtime
stories.
It's Russia.
They start good.
You don't have good stories that come out of Russia.
Oh, man.
Well, they're good stories, sad. But not happy stories.
Yeah. It was like, honestly, it was like the story started great. It was like Goodfellas in Russia. It started great, and then all of a sudden the body started piling up.
And all of a sudden, eating egg noodles with ketchup.
Yeah, yeah. Radio.
There you go.
Ooh. Hey, everybody. So this has been episode
30.
The Dirty 30, baby. Of the Devils in the Details. Please, if you enjoyed this, review it. I'm not going to say that enough. I think this season 2 of Devils in the Details is all going to be about review. Please review. Give us something. We don't care. 1 word, 2 words. If you really like it, do it on the Apple Podcast so that way we can get some bumped ups and maybe get some cool stuff. And maybe we get that cool stuff, we'll give it to you guys. We don't need that shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, people, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts. You can listen to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn. You can email us with any comments, suggestions, concerns to the Devils in the Details Show at gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Devils Deets. Facebook. Support our brothers and sisters at the PFT Media. The lineup being the main man of this thing, Cinema Crespo Diso, followed by What the Fuzz, Poking the Bear, Scotch and Good Conversations, Simon Time, Trivia Time, The Daily City, State of the Beer Union, Tidbits, The Lady Raptastic, and some other shows that might show up later on that they're untitled, but they're on the works, baby. Mm-hmm. They are in the works. Mm-hmm. And Clara, welcome
yes.
to the PFT Media family.
I have definitely missed Dan today. It's been a lot of pressure.
It's no, you did great.
You got thrown into the deep end.
I was kind of concerned because I was texting Dan. You know, it's like, I'm not going to be there. It's like, okay, so Claire's going to be there. Just give a heads up that I'm not trying to be rude or anything like that. I jumped in there because I really need to know these things.
No, you're good. He's just so good with the dates and things
oh,
like that.
Yeah,
I get dates wrong all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, but that gets annoying at some point.
Yeah, Dan, you're annoying.
Yeah. Because he'll be like, "Is this happened at 15:16? No, hold on.
15:17. Like, yeah, at 2 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday.
To the dot. To the dot. And it's so annoying. But anyway, guys, until next time, I am Pedro Lima. You can follow me on Rick and Gorilla on all social media aspects. That's Chris Crespo. You can follow him on...
at Crespo Diso.
Thank Crespo Diso.
And you can follow me, Clara Sinclair, on Instagram at Clara Sinclair and Facebook, Twitter on the same name.
Booyah! Nice. Until next time, bitches. Be easy.
And breezy.
A PFT Media production.